Well, Manchester was enveloped with blistering winds and snow this morning, but a number of people were able to have the benefit of getting in early enough to hear a keynote speech by Dr. Anthony Townsend, who's here from the Institute for the Future, and is, of course, soon to be another book author with his book Smart Cities coming out in October. Anthony, could you tell us a little bit about what sort of issues you were exploring this morning with the concept of Smart Cities?
Yeah, basically, I'm really interested not so much in the technology of smart cities, which, just sort of to think about the term smart cities, I think of it very specifically as places where information technology is being used to address urban problems. It's part of a solution. It's not the whole solution. It's not a quick technological fix. It's just a way of leveraging some of what we have, in terms of internet technologies, wireless apps, open data, to help address some of the needs that people have every day. And I'm primarily interested in all of the different players that are getting into that space, whether it's the big technology companies, Cisco's and IBM's of the world, small startups. I'm really familiar with the guys in New York who started Foursquare, and I see that as like one of the killer apps for the smart city. There's a lot of activists and NGOs and hackers that are doing interesting things with smart city technology, and then government itself, city governments certainly, but also national governments and even local neighborhoods, that are looking at this as an opportunity.
In developing sort of smart cities and smart city concepts, what would you say the overarching aim for that is, and does everyone share that aim?
Yeah, I think for everybody it's about solving problems and, again, exploiting the opportunity that these new technologies provide. Calling it smart is something of kind of a marketing gimmick, but I think at the end of the day, and it's used both by corporate marketers and by political marketers or public, people are trying to shape a public campaign. But at the end of the day, I think it's a really inspirational term. I mean, who doesn't want to be smart? Nobody wants to live in a dumb city or a stupid city. And I think, of course, in the UK, smart has other meanings that it doesn't have in the US, so maybe, it's kind of an odd term. But I think it's inspirational at the end of the day. And it leaves open the door for smart people as well as smart technology, whereas a lot of the other terms that people have used, like digital cities or information cities or connected cities, kind of leave people out of the equation. And leave our agency out of it and sort of conjure up visions of automation and systems that are managing the world on our behalf without us really being involved in it. And I think it's crucial, and that's a lot of what I was talking about today, was the need for citizen participation, not just in shaping the technologies. And, there's all kinds of efforts out there, like open data, open source hardware, apps, of course, that people are actually creating smart city technologies for themselves. But I think, participating in using them and shaping the vision for what the city should look like and what the role of technology should be in the city.
Is there a danger that when people embrace the concept, smart city concepts and new technologies, that they fetishize the technology over the processes that allow citizens to act and improve their environments?
Yeah, I think this happens all the time. Because it's a concrete thing as opposed to a vision of what our community should look like or a political decision-making process, which is very complicated, very abstract. And you can put your hands on these technologies, or at least most of them. I think the other big issue is that around dependency, and there's a whole chapter in my book that sort of, it's my Tom Friedman title. I call it Buggy, Brittle, and Bugged, and it's really looking at all the unintended consequences that are possible as we embrace smart city technology. The same way that we've come to grow dependent upon the electric power grid and all the vulnerabilities that creates. You've seen this in Japan, you've seen it in New York, you've seen it all over the world during major disasters. When the power grid goes down, civilization comes to a halt. And as we depend on more and more of these things that turn lights on and off, we're sitting in this room in a smart building in Manchester and it doesn't seem to be aware of us and it keeps turning the lights on and off. Those kinds of bugs are everywhere in smart cities. How many times do you walk around and see a public digital display that has the Microsoft Windows blue screen of death? I mean, if we can't even get the display right, how many times do you use a faucet that has a sensor or a toilet that has a sensor and it keeps flushing or it won't flush or it goes on and goes off? if we can't even get those basic systems right, how are we going to get our head around these ubiquitous complex systems? And so I think we just need to have a frank, open conversation about that and not have it all be about how great all this technology is going to be and all the problems it's going to solve. It's going to also create problems.
Are there moves that we can make to refocus the modern and future city around enabling the citizens at this point? Is this something that we have to find in the future that we haven't got to yet? Or is there some framework that we can adopt now or measures that we can adopt now that refocus a city around a citizen?
I think what a lot of people are excited about is taking all of the technologies of governance that people use for online communities and start to apply them to real-world place-based communities. And there's quite a bit of this that happened during the Occupy movement. And people were basically creating new institutions, new governance structures on the fly. And you know, a lot of people focused on like the word-of-mouth transmission of messages at Zuccotti Park in Manhattan. But there was a tremendous amount of communications, infrastructure, and computing. And I mean, it was just remarkable the amount of technology that supported that community. And I think those kinds of, you're seeing this in Germany and Italy with the pirates and the Five Star, and that people are leveraging these technologies to rethink governance. And sooner or later, I think you're going to see a city or a town say, look, we're throwing out the old system. We're going to adopt a new system. And it'll be one that uses these social technologies to really leverage citizen participation in a very positive and productive way.
I mean, you mentioned in your talk earlier that you were looking to see cities move away from the mainframe and into more of the approach taken in the creation of the web, the idea of the interconnected networks. I mean, what exactly does that mean in practice?
I think that, I mean, technologically, it means thinking about standards differently. I think in terms of how we organize ourselves to build smart cities, it means getting a little bit more comfortable with our plans being fuzzy at the edges. The way that we literally plan towns and cities today is every 5 years, every 10 years, depending where you are in the world, a bunch of people sit down and think it through, and you have a bunch of public meetings, and you write the plan, and you put it on a shelf, and you ignore it. I think what we need to do is make that a more continuous process and be constantly reevaluating, okay, what are we going to shoot for a year from now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now, and be comfortable about the longer-term goals being a little bit more vague, knowing that we'll be constantly revisiting them and constantly revising them. And I think that applies for planning everything, including the technology that we're putting in our cities.
I mean, you've been looking at the development of cities for a long while. I mean, in your sort of optimistic and pessimistic mood, what do you believe that in the future we'll see cities become more efficient and more pleasant to live, or just more crowded with opinions and strategies and possibly louder?
I mean, I think they're definitely going to become more efficient. That's sort of the baseline of what we have to do to survive as a species, and there's plenty of effort going into that. I think what I'm optimistic about is not just making cities more efficient, but making them more sociable. And I think that's where really a lot of the bright minds are focused right now, is harnessing these technologies to create new experiences and to create new kinds of communities that we've never had before. And I think that's a potential pathway to being healthier and happier and more peaceful in the future.
Right. And the book is out in October?
Right. It's being published by Norton in North America. We don't have a UK publisher yet, but we'll know soon. And you can go to smartcitiesbook.com to find out.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks.